Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion. Let's praise Him every Sunday morning at 5 with Ayanda Nenemba for prayer, intercession, testimonies, worship, and the Word. Let's praise Him with Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
It is indeed that time of the morning, my family. It's a great time of the morning where we come to get there and sit under instruction. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm really looking forward to where this series is going to take us. Already we've experienced that, there's so much that the Lord is saying to us and saying to fathers. And I'm really hoping that as we welcome Mutatu Sandile Swana on the line joining us, my family, since I think it's been 2 weeks now, talking and teaching and giving us insights around the topic of fatherhood and the importance of fatherhood, especially in a generation that has been reeling and hemorrhaging from fatherlessness. So here's a thing, or rather a great point that last week's conversation did. I don't know about you, and please feel free, my family, to drop us your views on 0826572729. So last week for me, I was sharing with Otada that last week I realized that usually when we have this conversation, from the point of view of healing for the children who have struggled with fatherlessness. It was such a powerful confirmation for me and a realization that actually, we are now beginning to speak to the fathers of the nation, to cultivate those that have been hidden, under the dust of shame and supposed failure, bringing back those who perhaps were raised in households where there was great fatherhood examples, but according to the course of their life, they let it go along the way. Whatever the case may be, we are speaking to the soul of the man and cultivating the father out of the man. And at this point, we then welcome Udada joining us on the line. Dada, good morning. Thank you again, always, for your time. You are welcome.
Good morning to you, Ayanda, and your listeners of Radio Pulpit. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Dada, last week, we ended on this really, really beautiful note where so much came out of our messaging from last week. Dada, if you can just take us through some of your thoughts around our conversation from last week and bringing us to today's conversation, where we are going to focus then on some of the dynamics and the issues that each man goes through in the journey of realizing the fatherhood in them.
Thank you, Ian. In terms of what we discussed last week, more especially towards the end of the conversation,
yes,
because we are using Abraham as our anchor of the teaching here. Now, one thing that I will say is that if you are a father who is out there who may be discouraged about your capacity for fathering, all sorts of things. After all, it's not an easy task.
Yes, it does.
But I want you to be aware that Abraham did a lot of great fathering.
Mm.
But a lot of us, as we read the Bible, we see so many mistakes in his life. He made many. So I'm saying that to come to the point that it is all by grace.
Sure, Dad. Amen.
It is all by God allowing His anointing, His grace, to actually multiply every good thing that you do for your children, your grandchildren, so that it has the type of effect that He would like. And even to close some of those gaps that we all have. So I use the case of little Mike Tyson, who became one of the greatest heavyweight champions that has ever lived. This boy is about 14 years old when he's put on parole and handed over to this coach. And this coach is about 79 or something in age. And he had been looking for all his life to have one of the greatest boxers. And he was at the end of his career to say, maybe I've missed it. But when he got this boy who was basically mad, crazy, you know, he's in prison, he's on parole, he needs to be brought back to life. And he coached him and would sit at his bed and talk to him to get rid of these demons out of him, teach him how to dress up, teach him when to sleep, when to eat, and how to have dates with girlfriends, and eventually produced one of the greatest world champions that ever lived. So all of that, I'm saying that it is not always that God starts with good material. A lot of us are not necessarily good material, but that doesn't preclude God from producing excellent results with raw material that may be very, very unpromising, whether it's the son or the father, or both, or the daughter and the father, whatever the permutation may be. So it's a task that you've got to keep at it for a very long time and trust God to keep on giving you grace to get it done. So those would be my opening remarks.
Yes,
as we get into this lesson.
Wow. I mean, that for me, I mean, that story, oh, it was a knockout for me. Talking about boxing, that story was a knockout for me. And I think, you know, I just want to stay on the issue of that story, Dada, before we carry on and look at the journey, the dynamics, the fears, you know, of Abraham as a man being cultivated into the father of our faith. So when you just come back to that story, it's important for us to realize that fatherhood, it doesn't have to be this is where I need to be corrected. Fatherhood doesn't always need to focus on the tough things. You know, you mentioned something that Mike Tyson's mentor, he would sit next to him and teach him how to dress, how to brush his teeth, how to date, how to court. Soft skills, you know, that I think as men, you sometimes overlook the importance of developing those soft skills. And it almost feels as if even with mothers, single mothers who are raising young men, you know, it's an area that is easy to overlook because you think, I will tumfana, uyoyifunda esitratweni. But actually, it takes a man to teach another man how to be a man. It takes a father to cultivate fatherhood into this from this young man. Can you just explain to us that the importance of soft skilling, you know, how to date? Is it even that important? Should boys be taught how to date? Should they be taught how to dress? Like, talk to us about that element.
Yes. To be more direct about this, I've even proposed a workshop on teaching people about dating and how to even get your first girlfriend.
Wow.
That sort of
I like it.
And then obviously people laugh at me when I start about, but there's a lot of mismanagement. I've always said to people about this thing that, look here, I have whatever little car that I may have or whatever big car that I may have, but one thing for sure, if it's your car, if you are going to give it to someone to drive, you want to give it to someone with a driver's license.
That's correct.
So if I'm going to give you my car to drive, you must have a driver's license.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Then at least we know what, maybe probably on a good start. But our culture says, people are not born knowing how to drive, so we take them to driving school, we take them through K-53, they are tested, they are checked if they can drive, and then they are eventually given a license to drive a car. And then usually, if it's in a company, they'll even want you to have 2 or 3 years experience of driving before they give you company car. Now listen to me. Now, why would I give my daughter to someone whose credentials have never been checked in any way, who has never been through any training program, who's going to learn by doing, who's going to experiment, and not knowing what outcome is going to be, because he simply, naturally, does not know what the hell he must do with this woman. But
sure.
We don't even bother to say, okay, young men, can we assure all of us that when we say someone is from a good family, what are we talking about? Has this person been put through a credible program of taking care of a woman, taking care of children, taking care of elders? By the way, what tends to happen is that, like, for instance, with me now, I live with four generations in the house.
Yes.
I can see the needs. I mean, as I come to this show now, I'm from the pediatrician with my grandson. Right? So you learn to help the helpless, which is the youngest in the family, and the elder. Now, you find that my father, there was a time when I depended on him a lot. Now, in his 80s, he counts on me that, you know, his mind is in order. Everything about him is in order. And I'm the one who must do it. So all of those tendencies need to be cultivated and openly, clearly taught that, sir, as you go on in life, you are going to find yourself in a position where a number of demands are going to come in your direction, and you need to be ready. Sir, what about your health?
Wow.
What do you put in your mouth? And for what reason? What chemicals do you take? For instance, you cannot take any medication except for an illness. You cannot take a drug except if it is going to cure something that is not well.
Wow.
Remain well and healthy. There's no need for you to be catching up with diabetes, catching up with high blood pressure, obesity, and all these things. Can you keep yourself healthy and fit at all times? So those are all the things. How do you dress up when you are going to a business meeting? How do you iron clothes? How do you make sure that if a button comes out, how do you put it back on?
Abakwazi, Dada. Abakwazi.
Right? They will not know, because nobody thought that that is a skill that must be taught. The people, we assume everybody can take out a spare wheel. I mean, if the car has a puncture, and the chap can come along and just change the tire. But from where? How did he get to know that? How do you boost the car with booster cables? Right? Etc., etc. How do you sit at table and eat with a fork and knife? What goes on with that? How do you handle money? What is the relationship between yourself and debt? What is the relationship between yourself and shopping and buying things? Right? What is your relationship between yourself and saving money and actually having investment? Right? All of what is the relationship between yourself and work? That's work, no matter what work it is. Working in the garden, you know, working, just working. Well, what kind of a worker are you? Can you be a man without being a worker? Can things break down in your presence?
Sure.
Right?
You know what? That's my man. I'm in awe. Yes, Dad.
Yes. So let us then go into the lesson for the day. Because we are Christians, we subscribe to the Judeo-Christian faith. And a lot of the times, we will come up and say, you know, in South Africa, certainly this is true, that, you know, the families that are the most successful would be the Jews, which is an Abrahamic faith.
Correct.
The Muslims are very successful. Then we come to the Christian. There is a whole hodgepodge of things that are hard to understand. And many times it's because the basic and foundational principles of our faith, which are stated in the scripture, we don't pay any attention. There are people who get shocked when you quote certain verses. They've never heard of them. But these verses are always there in the Bible. And people still get shocked because they don't think that the Bible is a good guide for life. So let's get into it a little bit, because I like to place everything I say in the Bible. Let's say, for a start, God is looking for men who will become like Abraham. Men who can be trusted to teach and train their offspring. And all those who live under their care, the principles and practices of the kingdom of God. God wants the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We as fathers, therefore, must train our children to exercise the kingdom of God on earth. To exercise power and authority of God in all spheres of earthly life. Simply, we must become agents of God on earth, and we must teach our children to be the same. Now, this is where this is coming from. God said, I am giving you dominion on earth. I am giving you rulership on earth. I am giving you authority on earth. Now, do we teach our children to be governors and to be handlers of power and authority in everything? And if we are not training our children for power and authority to govern and be governed by the principles of God, then we're joking. So let's remind ourselves of the scripture where we kicked off before we expand further. It says in Genesis 18:19, "For I have known, I have chosen, I have acknowledged him as my own," that is Abraham, "so that he may teach and command his children and the sons of his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has promised him." So in order for God to bring about what he has promised to Abraham, Abraham must teach and command his children and the sons of his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is righteous and just. So Abraham had a lot of young men to train and develop into manhood and to cater for. He had Ishmael, he had Isaac, and the six sons of Keturah. Zimran, Dokshan, Midan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. All in all, he had eight sons, all to be taught the ways of God. He also had about 318 male servants who were trained and developed by Abraham, as well as Lot, the nephew of Abraham. We are not yet discussing how many girls were there. Or how many women were there. We're just discussing males that were there. So he had a job. This home, this household was a mini college, if you like. It was a college.
School of life.
A school of life where people were being taught how to be kingdom citizens. Understand that every young person that you train and develop must eventually demonstrate that they understand God and the kingdom of God lifestyle by being a caregiver and a provider first to their parents, grandparents, needy church members, and anyone else who needs material support on earth. Faith is demonstrated through taking care of others, just like our Father in heaven takes care of others. So remember that when we pray, we say, "Our Father in heaven, give us our daily bread." So when you are a father, one of the things that you provide is a daily bread. But not only that, we must teach our children, all of them, to be providers of daily bread. It says in 1 Timothy 5:3-4, "Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need." But if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents for For this is pleasing to God.
Hmm.
And you'll forgive me for bringing this up. God says, our parents and grandparents should not be going to welfare in the state.
You,
Dad. They should be coming to us, and we should be going to them to make sure that their every need is met. It's not black text. It's the word of God. Everyone must be taught and trained and developed to be able to care for their own family and create proper economic and financial independence and self-sufficiency within the family unit. The father must teach by example. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, whoever does not care for his own relatives, especially his own family members, he has turned against, denied, and rejected the faith, and is worse than someone who does not believe in God. He is worse than an unbeliever.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So, as fathers, in the first place, we must demonstrate, because the Bible says, Heavenly Father, give us our daily bread. So, we must also make sure that in our families we are providing the daily bread. But the very same family members must also be taught that as a human being, first and foremost, when you are a believer in God, you must be providing for those who are in your household. You must be an effective citizen who is able to make sure that we are reducing and eradicating shortages and poverty everywhere you go. You are a useful citizen, and you learn that from your earthly father, and you learn that from your heavenly father. And because we are saying the will of God must be done on earth as it is in heaven, and the people who must do the will of God is us as fathers, it is our children that we teach to do the same, so that the hand of God can touch everybody, and we don't neglect anyone.
Hey, Dada, that's...
Now.
Yeah.
Eh?
No. I'm saying that is such a mouthful. I know you probably have another point, Dada, but I'm going to ask if we could please take a quick break, ne? And when we come back then from the break, you can continue. I have, as you can imagine, a plethora of questions just from the point. You know, God, give us this day our daily bread. My family, we are in studio and in conversation with Utatu Sandile Swana, who is teaching and giving such great insights this morning as we continue with our topic on fatherhood. Please do join this conversation. Ask the questions right here and right now. We'll also give an email address that you can perhaps, or rather even a Facebook page where you can perhaps write and reach out to Dada for any further questions beyond this. We are learning so much about the responsibility of fatherhood.
Come live the life at 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564, or alternatively email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.